You can't blame low case acceptance on your team if you're not even training the person who helps set up the stage from the very beginning of case acceptance. That's your front office team member.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple.
Hey, podcast family. Do you know that you could have the best clinical case acceptance and presentation skills in the world, but you could be losing cases before they get to your operatory, and worse yet, before they even get to your office, if they ever come at all? And this week, that's what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. Today, we're tackling one of the biggest, most overlooked killers of your case acceptance in your practice. And that's your front office team. So doctors, this episode isn't just for you. This is one you should share with your team. We're breaking down exactly how the front office team can accidentally sabotage big cases before they ever even reach it to the consult room. So I'm Meredith. I've worked nearly every role in T-Bone's practice from the front to the back. And I know what it's like on both sides. So I'm here to give that solution with T-Bone as the doctor and the owner. So let's dive in.
Yeah. So here's what we're going to cover today. Why your patient buying process, which we've talked about a lot, but where we don't talk a lot of is actually starts on the phone. How small word choices can make or break that phone call. The critical prep work it takes for the doc to set up the doctor to win, and how to train your front desk to win on these phone calls and act like a sales team. We've seen practices in our mastermind group get their front office team trained and transform the number of patients that get scheduled, and more importantly, transform the number of big cases that they're doing. So this week, we're going to give you practical steps that you can go back and implement into your practice.
Well, let's dive in.
Yeah, so before we dive in, let me challenge you with something. You've probably spent hours, days, weeks, months training yourself on clinical skill. And you've probably spent hours training your team, your clinical team, on how to help you deliver those skills. But how much time, how much consistent time have you spent training your front office team on how to answer the phone and how to set you up for success and how to best represent your practice? If you're listening to your team's calls already, tell me, how would you rate them on a scale of 1 to 10? Take a moment to rate yourself. Now, if you're not listening to your team calls regularly, rate yourself at a 0. Okay, I'll be nice and give you a 1.
You said 1 to 10. There was no 0.
If you're actually listening to the calls, give yourself at least a 5, but then honestly, rate your team on how well they're doing.
Yeah, I would say most team members have 0 formal training on this. I know I didn't. And as a team member, as a front office team member, I have to add, you spend the least amount of time with your doctor. Your doctors are knee to knee with their assistants. They do exams with their hygienists and treatment coordinators, and they see them regularly. Some days you could go all day without seeing your front office team. So they're
some
just
days
kind
on
of
purpose.
Yeah, well,
I'm kidding.
They're
I'm
just
kidding.
Expected to figure it out, right?
Yeah, they
and,
are.
And do it on their own.
And I think what we often forget in this is that, you know, that phone call, it's the first impression of your practice. It's the moment of truth. When somebody takes time out of the day to call your practice, you actually answer the phone and they're making that decision of, is this the right place for me? And all of that hinges on the attitude, the capabilities, the personality, the knowledge of that person answering the phone. And frankly speaking, it is probably the least trained person and the least, I hate saying this, but the least respected person in our dental practices, but yet they play such an important role.
Yeah, I always said it's such a thankless job, right? Yeah. But if you're skipping training on your front office team members, then you're quite frankly, skipping getting people in the seats. They don't even get to meet your treatment coordinator unless they have a good experience on the phone.
Yeah. So as you listen to the podcast, I want you to keep this in mind. You can't blame low case acceptance on your team if you're not even training the person who helps set up the stage from the very beginning of case acceptance. That's your front office team member. You can't blame low case acceptance if you're not training the front office team member that answers the phone.
Yeah. And I think we have to realize that the patient buying process starts before they even arrive in the office. I know when I started at the front desk, I didn't realize I was the first.
Well, you started as C-team assistant.
Well, that's what I said at the front desk. I transitioned from a clinical role, clinical-ish role, to a front office admin star role, I would like to add.
Honestly, it's where you shined.
Yeah. Yeah. We had to find that seat on the bus, right?
And you didn't want to go to that seat.
No,
just
I
as
did
a reminder.
Not. I know. You had to pull me with a trailer up there on that bus.
I was going to say you didn't need to be pulled with a trailer then. I'm kidding with you, Meredith.
We had a short bus for all of us. Don't worry. Well, I just wanted to say, like, I didn't realize that I was the first salesperson, right? I just thought my job, and once I think I started to like it more when I realized I was that first salesperson, right? When I took that position, I thought I was just get their name, get their address, get them on the schedule.
Anywhere on the schedule.
And just drop them off, right? But I think as patients start to come in and they start to see Megan and say, oh, I loved Meredith on the phone. Where is she? Patients start to ask for you and that
we
kind of thing.
We said that you had a face for the...
where I had a face for radio. But you just put me in the back. No, but I think just important knowing that that first call is the first case presentation. But yeah, you are that first impression. When that patient walks in and you say, hey, I know you. We chatted on the phone. They feel welcome, right? They feel like they're already part of the family.
I can move you back there if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm always available. Whenever you need me, I can jump in.
Can I downgrade your pay too?
No.
In all seriousness aside, look, your patient buying process is only as strong as its weakest link. And let me remind you, the buying process starts with the phone call. The phone call determines who comes in, why they come in, how they come in, all of those things. And then you do then you're doing the clinical exam, then you're doing your diagnosis, then you're doing the presentation and the conversation, and then once they accept, you're doing the scheduling. So, if the first part of this, the phone call, is totally broken or doesn't work as well as you need it to, you're really setting yourself up to not, I don't want to say for failure, you're setting yourself up to not succeed. And, and then as owners, we start blaming our consults, we blame it on the types of patients we're getting, yet we're never giving so many patients a chance to come in.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. There's just no intake process, no rapport. We're rushing to get off the phone, which means we're not asking questions. We're not getting that information that the doctor and the treatment coordinator need to fulfill a good consult.
Yeah, I recently moved to a voice over IP with AI phone service. Mm-hmm. And what I've loved, the number one thing I've loved about it is the data and the insights that it's giving me. And so I want to give you some action and homework, and that is to listen to your last 5 phone calls in your practice that have come in, and just listen to them. I mean, that's all you got to do. And you will be, if you listen to enough, you will be shocked at what's going on. And then you'll realize that, again, number one, don't blame the people. Blame yourself for not giving them the training, but you will realize that you've got to put some attention on that portion of your practice. I want to take a pause for a second. I know a lot of people, they're probably thinking like, God, why are we focused on this or that? And dentistry has changed. When I started, being a Dr. DFB just isn't good enough anymore. It's not enough. You're going to get commoditized out. Insurance is going to ruin the amount of money that we make based on the fees. The corporations are going to commoditize us. And honestly, at some point in time, we're going to get replaced with dentist light. At some point, fillings will be done by not a dentist. And so it's time to understand that the dentistry of the 90s and 2000s is gone. that today to survive, whether you're an owner or an associate, to thrive, I should say, today to thrive, you've got to put on a sales hat. You've got to understand that you've got to train your people to sell, and it's just not negotiable anymore. And that's why, I don't know what made me go here.
But. Yeah, well, I think just like any other business, people have choices.
Yeah.
Right? And before it was almost like people were districted to this dentist. There wasn't as many choices, just like you're districted to schools.
You must have kids going to school at some point in time.
Not really. Not anywhere close. But that was just all I could think of like, you know, I was thinking like lumped together, just not as many options. But in today's world, there's so many options.
Yeah.
People have choices. And so we just have to think about, you know, our verbiage and how we speak to people. And I think the words we use, the tone we use, and how we treat people.
Well, speaking of words, let's kind of do like some good and bad examples.
Yeah.
Let's not try to be crazily bad, okay? Because I know if we go over the top on the bad side, what I know is my team's not saying that. You know, they're going to be like, that's not. And then the truth is, I hope, like, so the dentist listening to the podcast isn't your average dentist. They're your above average dentist.
Right.
So, you know, Meredith, can you give us an example of a patient that calls and asks about, let's say, cosmetics on the phone? What would a bad conversation look like?
Well, we do something like some bonding. If you're interested in something more, you know, like some porcelain work, that can get pretty pricey. But we do some of that.
I'm going to stop you there. That sucks. But that may be more realistic.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's realistic. Yeah. What would something good look like there?
Dr. Agarwal does these types of cases all the time. He's really great at showing you what we can do for you and then personalizing a plan to make it fit for you and your budget.
So I want you to notice like the positivity you made, you know, you put the doctor on a pedestal, not an ego pedestal, but you kind of like, oh my God, he does this.
You want the patient to feel like he does this day in and day out.
I did. I was prepping Typodons all the time.
Yeah. Right. At night in his free time, because none of his patients were coming in.
Here's one that irks me. I call it, ask how much Meredith. I call, just answer the phone real quick. I got, you know, I've
3D dentist assistant Meredith.
No. Listen, just give me a second here. Okay.
Are you still staging the call? I have no idea what you're going to say. I'm a little scared.
Listen, I am now Denzel.
Oh, okay.
I want to get in my Denzel mode.
Okay.
He's my favorite actor.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Thank you for
calling. Hold on. So I got to get in my Denzel mode, okay? And so do that, we got to act it out.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for calling Raleigh Dental Arts. This is Lily.
My man. What's wrong with
me? I'm a woman, but thank you.
My man, I want to know how much the veneers cost.
Yeah, so veneers are something we love to do here at Raleigh Dental Arts. Dr. Agarwal does lots of these cases. Have you looked into this prior, or are you familiar with what you need?
I mean, do you not know who I am?
I don't. So my name is Lily. Who am I speaking with?
This is Denzel.
Hey, Denzel. Yeah, we'd love to have you here. Are you familiar with the procedure or have
No,
any
I'm
questions?
Just trying to get an idea of how much these things cost.
Okay. Well, you know, veneers can range from 2 teeth to 10 teeth, just depending on what you need. I would love to get you in for a consult with Dr. Agarwal for him to look and see what he could offer for you.
Okay. So great. Okay. So let's call that a good one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Notice number one, she didn't answer the question yet, which I'm okay with. Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to gauge if I'm going to shell shock them or if they've Googled it or they've been to another consult. Have you looked into this?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the procedure? Because sometimes you get people who are like, oh, I've been to other consults and that's better pricing than I've heard.
Yeah.
Or you get people who are like, oh my gosh.
In the South, they say
oh my good golly.
That's what your husband said.
No, he would say, shoo-wee.
Shoo-wee. Why am I lying? All right, so let's do a not so good one.
Okay, let me get
my Denzel mode. You gotta answer the phone, man.
Okay.
You gotta do a not so good one this time.
Raleigh Dental Arts, this is Lily.
My girl, what's up?
Hi.
I'm trying to get a quote of what veneers cost.
Okay, and who am I speaking with?
This is Zeldin.
Hi, Zeldin. It's nice to meet you. Yeah. They're expensive.
Or my favorite is when they say we don't do quotes on the phone.
We don't do quotes over the phone.
Yeah, so like I just don't love that.
Yeah, I would prefer to say I would love to give you a ballpark. We can give you a more accurate estimate when we get you in and and create a customized plan for you.
Personalized plan, customized plan. But I also do believe in giving them a range.
Yeah.
Like depending on how many teeth we do, something like this can be from a few thousand dollars to the cost, like to several thousand dollars.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's okay. I mean, like I know it's hard to give a quote on the phone, but people are Googling and asking this question. They just want to answer their question, but don't like the call. Like I want you to.
I mean, it could literally be $4,000 to $20,000.
Yeah.
That's okay to say.
Yeah.
Just say
that's and then follow up. That's why we want you to come in so we can get a personalized plan. Understand what you're looking for. There's no cost, no obligation. That way we can.
We may even be able to show you what we can do.
Yeah, well, you can say you'll get to meet the doctor and you'll get an idea of why we do this type of work.
And then anytime I list a cost, I always like to say, we also have payment options that could work for you.
Absolutely. And so our point in this is think about this. You want to avoid fear language. You want to frame benefits, not obstacles. And you want to sound confident and give hope. You want the patients to feel some level of excitement. Now, we can't be excitement all bubbly and stuff, you know, but you got to give some excitement. Like Meredith said, this is what Dr. A does. This is our practice is known for this. We love patients like this. You know, those kind of things reinforce people's decision to call and talk to you. So, you know, so that's, you know, Meredith, if you were to ban some things, what phrases would you probably ban?
Yeah, so I think that's really important. I mean, gosh, all of the words I used, right? expensive. I would say insurance. I would say we're not banning. We are banning words, but let's replace some words.
Yeah, and I another word to the ban list is policy.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear about your policy when you call. Like, no customer likes the word policy.
I think it's important that a lot of the things we say in our systems in place are not how we deliver them to the patients. For example, our policy is we can't schedule We can't schedule an emergency. We can only schedule an emergency within 24 hours.
That's correct.
That is not what I tell to the patient.
We don't say our policy is.
Yeah. So when a patient calls me on Tuesday and says they can't come in Wednesday, I would say, well, if it's okay with you, if you'll give me a call back tomorrow afternoon or Thursday morning, I'd love to check to see if we have any openings.
Yeah, or what time
instead
we have
available. We have something available on Thursday, but I'm not allowed to schedule you there until 24 hours before. So if you could just give me a call, I guarantee you that's what's happening.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, I hope that's not happening. That's not the phone calls I've listened to haven't said that.
So that's happening in some places. So it's things like that. It's like we do want policies and we want systems, but that's not how we want to deliver it to the patients. So I think banning some words, expensive, I don't know, you can ask that at your consult. Things like that instead of let me figure that out and get back to you. Even if it's through a text message or an email, I could ask our team member and have them give you a call.
Time out. Because I'm all over this right now. I mentioned it on the last podcast was, are you making it easy to communicate with your patients through online scheduling, texting? Like that's been another big one for us now is moving to modern software has allowed us to text and patients can text us pictures and they're no longer having to do it on our, you know, the personal cell phone, you know, the team members' personal cell phones. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So keep going. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I think that's super important. But I think also if we're going to ban something, we need to replace it with something else. Yeah. Right. So because if that thought is coming into your team member's head, like, what is your insurance? Or we do accept insurance. We need to replace that with, we are here to maximize your benefits.
Yeah.
So everything we take away and ban, we want to replace with something that is a good phrase they can use.
All right. My truth bomb is your team is always selling something. The question is what? You know, so again, your team is selling something. The question you need to be asking is what is the customer thinking that they're selling? And sometimes they're unselling, and that's the unfortunate part of some of this.
Yeah. So I guess we've talked about a lot of things and how to deliver kind of the wording the right way, but we also want to talk about the preclinical setup or how to make the doctor win, right? Again, as the front office, this is a pretty thankless job. You never come to the front office and say, hey, we just closed that case. Thank you for starting it. But really, that's where it starts, right?
That is true.
So one of my biggest lessons working at the front and continuing to do so is that realizing that your words are shaping the patient's expectations before they come. So if you're can't answer questions on the phone, if your delivery is just not there, if you don't sound confident, then what do they expect in their consult?
Yeah.
They expect the same delivery.
They assume the dentist and the practice is a mirror reflection of their experience on the phone.
Yes. So if you kill their interest on the phone, they're going to be like, when they come in, oh, they're really not interested, that interested in helping me because she really wasn't.
Yeah, and part of that is getting the right information. So let's talk about that real quick. The framework for a good call is you got to get the right information, and we're going to ask Meredith about that here in a second. You got to frame the benefits and build confidence in the provider and the practice, and you got to use consistent language across the team. So when they come in, they're hearing the same thing for the second time from the clinical team member, the third time from the dentist, the fourth time, the same framage, the same verbiage from the treatment coordinator. It's kind of the same consistent words and experience across the board. So let's talk about things they should get. What kind of information do you try to gather from the patient?
Yeah, so I think we just want to make it important that we're gathering the right things. Because what's funny is you hear the back team is like, they're always on the phone. I can't get them to help me with a treatment plan because they're always on the phone. But then as the doctor, it's like, we want them to be on the phone longer. We want them to ask more questions. As the treatment coordinator, I need more information. It would be nice if we asked questions. So we want to, of course, we have to get that information. What is your name? All the demographics,
all the basic
insurance,
stuff,
blah, blah, blah. What brings you in today?
That would be the chief complaint, right?
What concerns are you hoping that we can address while you're here? And then emotional, like why now? How long has this been bothering you? Did this happen Tuesday or has this broken tooth? It also helps gauge, is this an emergency or not? Has this tooth been broken for 6 months? Has this tooth been missing for 10 years? Are we going to need to graft the site first or has this tooth been missing for a year? So a lot of this is also...
Still might have to graft it then too.
Okay, 6 weeks.
They should be asking, did your previous dentist take 3D dentist tooth replacement therapy live patient program?
Did you get a graft at the extraction site? And it may not even be a missing tooth. They may have a broken tooth at the gum line. A lot of times, if they have one area they want to address, hey, do you have a second? Could you send me over a picture? Mm-hmm. Do you know how helpful that? And like you said, with our two-way communication, they can send it right into our software and that is such a nice, it really sets the doctor and the treatment coordinator up for they know what to be prepared for. The treatment coordinator can almost have a treatment plan ready.
So far, here's what I've gotten from you. I know there's a little bit more.
Yeah.
Is, you want to get the chief complaint. In other words, what brings them in.
Yeah.
You want to get the emotional driver. In other words, why now? Mm-hmm. Okay. What else do we get?
Yeah. So I think obviously the money part is the front desk girl does not want to be.
What do you ask?
Do you have any money? Do you have any money? I think money is what people don't feel comfortable talking about.
Yeah.
Do you have a budget in mind? Like I asked you, is this something you've looked into
research?
Before?
Yeah.
Have you done any research? Have you had a consult? Have you seen anyone about this prior? And that's all just gauging one, how interested they are, or.
Where in the process they're at.
It also gives them an opportunity to start asking buying questions, right? So if they can set us up with a budget, it is more comfortable. I think it's more comfortable asking it over the phone than it is in person.
Yeah.
So if you want to grow into a treatment coordinator one day, a great first step as a front desk person is to get comfortable asking about budgets and start over the phone. And then slowly start to feel comfortable asking people that in person. And it's okay if you deliver it the right way.
Yeah. Anything else? Other thing I'd like to know is, how they found about this.
Yeah.
We think about the same thing.
Yeah. How they heard about us. Because I love, like I said in a past podcast, we love referrals from current patients. There's nothing better than when somebody refers us a case. They did clear aligners with us and they're referring a friend, or they did 10 veneers and they're referring a friend. Oh, my friend had work done with you. So So then that's something the doctor knows in the consult they can bring up. And it's like, hey, we just saw Sally for this. I know you're friends with her.
And you know, more than likely, clearly, Sally's told them how much it costs.
Yes.
They've already got trust in you.
They've told them what the post-op is like. Did it hurt? All of those things.
And then
are
if I know Sally sent them and I screwed up something on Sally, I can, you know, I can kind of make sure.
No, I think if you want to be a full 180, like, you can send Sally something, you know, send her a card in the mail and thank her for referring a friend.
You know, one of the things that I've seen in our own practice, of course, and in other practices, obviously, is the front office team is getting this info, but they're not, there's no way it's getting to the back team when they get here. And that's really about notes.
We have an intake sheet that we share with our masterminders. Obviously, we believe there's three ways a patient can come in through the office. And I know we've done a whole podcast on that, but this intake sheet has those three separate blocks kind of, and then that's also these questions are a way you figure out how this patient is coming in. Are they emergency? Are they a new patient, comprehensive through hygiene, or are they a consult? Are they coming in for a specific service? So using that sheet that is then scanned into their chart, then whoever is seeing them can go back and review. We're also typing everything into their notes. And then anything super important, we may even put in their appointment note.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm not going to use company names, but that's the other thing I've loved about moving to the cloud and to an integrated phone provider is all the patient communications. And now, believe it or not, the emails are going to be part of it too.
Oh, that's nice.
The patient communications are, I just go to memo. And I can see the phone call. I can see what was discussed. I can see things in case it was forgotten. But we're doing a really good job of putting those notes in. And I want to leave us with this on this section is, you know, your consult should be won before they even get to the office. In other words, they should already feel confident that they're in the right place, that you're the right practice and specifically the dentist for them, and that you're going to treat them with amazing love and respect before they even enter your practice. And that's all done by the phone call. So, you know, it's so important. I just can't stress it enough how important it is. So now let's kind of transition. So we've talked about, you know, what a good phone call sounds like, you know, get, you know, the importance of the phone call, what information to, you know, to get there. Now let's talk about rubber meeting the road. Let's get to how do we train the front office team members to be better salespeople? And, you know, I don't mean being pushy. You know, I really mean build trust, build value, build confidence, gather the right information. Like how do we do that training?
Yeah, I think the answer to that, like always, is role playing.
Yeah. Or they can send them to the mastermind and we can do it for them. But yeah.
So through our case acceptance team program through the mastermind. But teams think that they everybody says, oh, we don't have time. But that's like, let me use your football analogy, even though I'm not a football player. Here, let me do this. That's like the cheerleaders that perform at halftime saying they don't have any time to practice. They're just going to get out there and do it. What a disaster it would be, right?
I don't know. I thought they just get out there and look
do
pretty.
It. But for football, we do use the analogy, what if there was no scoreboard when we keep the score, right? What they'd just be playing back and forth. So I think that works better. But again, what if there was no practice for the football team? They just went out and thought they were all going to run these plays. They'd run right into each other. And that's what we're doing when we're trying to do consults and communicate over the phone if we have no practice.
Yeah, you know, look, you got to train, you got to role play, you got to review your role play, because sometimes people don't realize what they look like, the things they're saying while they're in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
It's like I don't like when I'm working or doing something, I don't even realize some of the things I say or what my body language says.
Yeah.
And to me, like, so part of that is reviewing the role playing, you know, whether it's reviewing the audio recording of it, reviewing the video recording of it, but reviewing the role play would be great.
And you can also even make your own playbook, right? So I like to use the four promises as our example, but giving your team a script and then letting them kind of make it their own, right? Because our entire team can deliver what the four promises are. And what I love is everybody says it a little bit differently, but it all kind of gets the right message out there. So T-Bone, what do you think, like best standard of care, what would be the best way to handle the training and the practice for this?
Yeah, you know, I think you got to have weekly role playing for scenarios. And it's a lot to ask. I get it. You know, but you got a weekly role play, and it doesn't have to be a whole team thing. It can be one-on-one with the front team member. It can be one-on-one with your assistant. It can be one-on-one with whoever it is. You know, you got to get in the culture that you're going to role play every single week. You got to review call recordings every week. You know, it's got to become weekly that someone or you are reviewing the phone calls in your practice. And yes, it seems cringy and it seems micromanagey at first, but if you want to win, these are the, you know, I'm just telling you what you got to do to win. You know, it's these are the things that have gotten me here to having a relatively successful practice. And then you got to give feedback, and you got to get comfortable giving that feedback. You know, at the end, it's relatively simple, honestly, but so few people make the time for it, and then they wonder, why isn't this happening? Or why is T-Bone able to do these cases, but I can't? Or I wonder, why is so-and-so able to do this many cases, but I can't? And the reality is because if we look at the basics and the fundamentals, they're just doing it more often, not even better, but they're just doing it more often than most of us are doing it. And that's really the difference. So if you don't train your front office team to sell, you're essentially training them to sabotage.
Yeah, and I don't think it's intentional at all. I think it's just if we're not training, we don't know any better. So we're just less worse, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's kind of wrap up our action plan of kind of the things we would like for you to take from this and to be able to kind of move forward. So maybe like a weekly list of things that you could do. And you can start by just auditing 5 phone calls. Like you said, cringy at first. You hate to hear yourself on the phone like we hate to hear ourselves on the podcast. But it really helps to know where – it really helps create a baseline of knowing where to start. Building that banned phrase list that and replacing it with some trustworthy language or things that can help them, guide them to say the things you would like for them to say. Creating an intake sheet
or having
checklist.
One.
Yeah. For them to fill out, especially when you just get into casual conversation on the phone. I love to collect what I'm trying to find through casual conversation, but sometimes when you get wrapped up, it's hard to remember what you've called on to and what you still need. So just having that sheet in front of you is a really nice guideline. And then just making sure that you're scheduling your trainings weekly. It could be as few as 15, 20, 30 minutes, but ideally an hour or two.
Hour or two is probably not weekly, but that's probably, you know, if you can get 15 or 20 minutes in, that's great on a weekly basis. If you can get a couple of hours in a month, that would be fantastic as well. Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to stress, it sounds simple, but, and honestly, it's just a matter of prioritizing it as important. And what I will tell you is it will move the needle. I know it's going to move the needle.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this as a doctor, this would be a good one to share with your front office team in hopes that, you know, they want to get on board, make it your next meeting, role playing, all of that. I'm sure you can figure all of this out on your own. But if you would like a shortcut of years of what T-Bone's done, what Sully's done, what 50 or 60 other offices around the country are doing, we would love to have you in our 3D Dentist Mastermind.
Next program starts January 2026.
There's a few spots left there. And you can find more information at 3D-dentist.com/mastermind.
Thank you, podcast family, for tuning in. I think this is like week 6 or 7 in a row. We're back.
We're back and
better than ever. And committed. And if you could do me a favor, if you could share this to your stories on InstaFamous, if you could share it to your groups on Facebook, we want to help spread this message in dentistry to as many dentists as possible. Because honestly, dentistry needs this message, and too many people are trying to drive a different message out there that confuses the market, that creates complexity. And we're just trying to help you win in your practice so you can win at life. And we will see you next week.